You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
Now, today I'm going to be ministering to you on the topic of manifested blessings. And what I'm going to be showing you is the power of spiritual blessings, how they are designed to create manifestations in your life. In fact, let me give you a reference that kind of shows this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse Paul said this. He said, I didn't come to you in speech that was of the wisdom of men. He said, I came to you in the spirit, or I came in demonstration of the spirit and in power, that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but it would rest on the power of God. So when Paul preached about Jesus, there was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and there was also a manifestation of power. I'm going to show you the difference between the Holy Spirit and the anointing, even though they're one. The anointing deals with power. The Holy Spirit deals with the presence of God. And the presence of God is what changes you personally in your life. But it's the anointing that breaks the power of Satan in your life. The anointing deals with power of deliverance over demonic spirits, over whatever. So the anointing enables us to serve God and do what God has told us to do. But the presence of God changes us personally in our lives. It was very interesting today. You know, many of you know that I don't plan sermons out. I just wait until the weekend before I preach them and pray. And I had this sermon pretty much done. And my first text is found in Acts chapter 2, which we'll look at in a minute. And I was looking through the news feed on my phone, and it pointed out the fact that this Sunday was the day of Pentecost the Jewish people celebrate, and so does the church. So even though I didn't intentionally plan to preach on Pentecost, it's coming out today. Can you say amen? Amen. So with that in mind, I want you to take a look up at the screen here. We're going to go from Acts chapter 2, and listen to what it says. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I'm not preaching this morning to get controversial, but I want you to understand something, that because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, God was able to forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and future, which means God could seal us with the Holy Spirit of promise so that God's Spirit could live and abide in us. This is very important because at Pentecost, when the Spirit fell, we know from Scripture that 11 of the individuals there had already received the Holy Spirit. John, the 20th chapter, tells us that Jesus appeared to the disciples. Thomas was not there at the time. He appeared to them and he asked them if they would receive the Holy Spirit. And it says in the Greek that he breathed in and breathed out and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we know that they were born again in John 20. So at Pentecost was an empowerment that came from the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen, everybody? Now, I personally believe that the whole 120 had the Spirit had been breathed into them. And I say that because Thomas was there, and we know he probably got blessed just like the rest. And then if you read on the same chapter, it talks about him ministering many things to the other disciples. So I would assume that everyone in the upper room, he had breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. But I can't prove it, but you can't disprove it. Say amen. Now, the truth that I want you to see from this is just having the Holy Spirit is wonderful. But God wants to empower us by the Spirit as well. And one of the number one gifts, or the only gift that you find in the New Testament that's never found in the Old Testament, is tongues and interpretation. In other words, it is the single manifestation of the baptism of the Spirit, of power, that is revealed in the book of Acts. Now, even though some churches, they got a problem with tongues, I'm just telling you scripturally, tongues is the sign, because you had prophecy in the Old Testament, you had the gifts of healing in the Old Testament, you had the word of knowledge in the Old Testament, you had discerning the spirits in the Old Testament. The only gift that wasn't there was tongues and interpretation. Say amen. Now, here's what I want to get across. I want to show you something here. The Bible said that at Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, how do you become filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, first, I need to say this. You become filled with the Holy Spirit through praise and worship of some sort. In this case, it was through unknown tongues, but you're filled by the Holy Spirit within you being released through your praise and your worship. It begins to fill the house up. Almost like in the tabernacle when the glory cloud would fall. It would be over the Ark of the Covenant, and then it would spread out from the Ark of the Covenant. And know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So as we praise God, the Holy Spirit is poured out. You can't be filled without releasing the Holy Spirit within us. Say it again. You can't be filled without releasing the Holy Spirit within you. Now, look in Ephesians 5, 18, and look at this verse. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I love this psalm because it compares getting intoxicated to being filled with the Spirit. And it says, I want you to be filled with the Spirit rather than be intoxicated with wine. And this is very important because it says the process happens by us speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns. Years ago, my dad, who is with Jesus right now, he used to play banjo. And he played with Seattle Banjo Band, which would play in bars and taverns and all these different places. And he gets turned on to the Lord, comes to the church, and decided to make this our home church. And the band wanted him to play his banjo in the band. And I remember he came up to me and he said this, Jackie, and don't ever call me Jackie, but he called me Jackie. He said, how do you play? I know how to play for clubs, but I don't know how to play for the church. I said, the way you play for a church is you play for the Lord. Not for the people, for the Lord. Amen. Say amen. Speaking to yourself. Why? Because the Spirit of God is within us. We're praising God for the presence of God. We're praising God for the breakthrough. We're praising God for the healing. We're praising God for it. We begin to worship and worship. And we get filled with the Holy Ghost and promise when you do that in your life. Now, the very fact that he says be filled implies that just because you were filled way back 10 years ago or 20 years ago doesn't mean you're filled anymore. Some of you are dried up. Come on, don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. You need to get that flow going. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. You got to step into a praise service. You got to begin to release yourself in praise towards God. Sometimes when I'm at home in tongues, I just tell myself, I'm going to pray in tongues, man. And I just begin to pray in tongues and bring the house down. And every time, if you pray long enough, always I sense the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my prayer room. Now, that brings me to another point. The Holy Spirit is tangible. You can feel his presence. Now, he can be here and be untangible, but when you worship him and praise him, the presence of God becomes tangible, where you can feel the moving of the Spirit. You can feel the presence of God. You can sense God's about ready to do something. You can, oh, glory to God. And see, this is the difference between being religious and having a relationship with Christ. How many people you know that go to church and they don't live any different than the world outside of the church? Maybe they got a little bit higher morals, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. When you talk about God's presence, I felt the Holy Ghost, they never say that. Look at this verse. This is in John chapter 14, verse 21, and someone needs to hear this. Look at this. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I, come on, Jesus, will love him and manifest myself to him. In other words, Jesus will manifest himself through the Spirit to you. Come on, everybody. Jesus. I went to church for years and never had Jesus himself manifest me through the Holy Spirit. For years, there's a difference between really giving your life to Christ and having the Holy Spirit draw you, having the Holy Spirit come inside of you, and especially empowering you. Once he empowers you, you will leave religion and you'll become radical for God. It changes you. And that's what it's talking about in this particular passage. Now, we're talking here about the importance of the Holy Spirit. You know, people struggle with, well, you know, I need to do this 5-course to change my character or whatever. I tell you, the Spirit of God can change you in a moment. God's presence can awaken you and transforms you faster than anything that you could physically do yourself. That's the power of the presence of God. Just by being around Jesus, it changes you. Just by spending time, boy, I'm just going to be in his presence here for a while. Just by doing that, it can transform you and change you in your life. Amen. And this is important because all of the spiritual blessings are activated by the Spirit. Everyone. And the Spirit never does anything unless Jesus initiates it. Remember, he's the head of the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So everything Jesus does is through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't say anything, do anything that the Jesus isn't saying and doing. So the point I want you to see is that there are physical blessings that come from spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings will not get you healed unless they manifest in healing. Spiritual blessings in your family will not make your relationship better unless they manifest in the character of the individual that you're praying for. In other words, all the blessings in Scripture, some are emphasized in a material way, some are emphasized in a spiritual way, but every spiritual blessing is never designed not to manifest. I said every spiritual blessing is designed to manifest in a physical way, a material way, in your life. I don't know if you're getting this. Deuteronomy 28:2 says that these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. He's talking all in that chapter about material blessings. He says you will lend and not borrow. That's a material blessing. He says I'll bless your storehouses. That's a material blessing. He says you'll be blessed in the city or in the country, which means favor, which is opportunities will come to you. Doesn't matter where you're at, they're going to come to you. Come on, these are manifestations in this life. And he says that in your house, your cupboards are going to be full of food. That's material blessings. Hallelujah. Paul says, he says, God's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Here's the point I want you to see. With the spiritual blessings, use your faith. You can believe in faith for that spiritual blessing. Hold fast to it and it'll materialize. Woo! It'll materialize into money. It'll materialize into health. It'll materialize in restoration. It'll materialize and get rid of depression. It'll materialize into this. It'll materialize in that. So you can readily see how important it is that we have the Holy Spirit. I often ask this question. How did they know that the Holy Spirit had fallen on them at the day of Pentecost? How did they know? There wasn't any scripture that said fell that day. How did they know? They felt it. They felt his Spirit fall. They heard the rushing sound of mighty wind. Their senses perceived it. The Holy Spirit is falling. Then they begin to yield to it and begin to speak in tongues, which was audible. It was audible because people heard them speaking in their own languages. And here's something missed, dialect. In other words, they were speaking in the dialect, not just the language. I had that happen in church 1 year twice where I was speaking and a brother come up and says, "You're speaking in this native dialect." Told me what it was. I had no idea what it was. But he interpreted it because he knew the dialect. Manifestation. Manifestation. I want a manifestation of people getting saved. I want a manifestation of people getting healed. I want a manifestation of demons coming out and a person coming with a calm mind. I want a manifestation of drug abuse broken. I want a manifestation of reconciliation. I want a manifestation from the Spirit of God. And that will happen to every one of us if we pursue Him in the measure that God tells us to pursue Him in the Word of God. Now, here's the beautiful thing about spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings, the devil can't steal. Can't do it. 1 Peter 1:4 says that this inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled. It's in heaven. In Christ are all these spiritual blessings. Satan can't get to them. He can steal your money, but he can't steal the spiritual blessing that creates money. He could make you sick, but he can't steal the spiritual blessing that'll get you healed. Come on now, church. You hear what I'm saying? He can't steal it. It's in Christ. And all we got to do is be recipients in faith and receive it by faith and then put that spiritual blessing at work in the area that you need it at work in. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to expect today a manifestation. I said expect a manifestation. Expect that the moment you pray in faith, something physically is changing at that moment in your life. You may not see it, but it's like Abraham. He began to believe God and take his son up one side of the mountain. But while he was believing God, he couldn't see anything was changing, but something had changed. Because as soon as he believed, God spoke to a ram that was on the other side of the mountain. And that ram started going up to his destiny to get his throat cut in replacement for Abraham's son. Hallelujah, praise God. So, manifestation is critical if we're going to prosper. It's critical if our marriages are going to get better. It's critical. It can't be all spiritual. It's got to be a spiritual thing that is manifested. No wonder Jesus said this, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Spiritual. Receive your spiritual healing. Spiritual. Receive your provision. Spiritually. Receive that reconciliation spiritually, and it says you will have it. In other words, it'll manifest. It'll manifest. I said it'll manifest. When you see the manifestation, you realize that's what makes your joy full. People go, "Well, I don't need anything in this planet. Everything's fine." No, that's not true. Your joy cannot be made full until there's a manifestation of answered prayer. Jesus said, don't ask me for anything anymore. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you, so that your joy might be made full. In other words, so that what you spiritually received will become manifested in your life. So you can have joy and you can die in joy, but you can't die in joy unless your joy has been made full, which means your prayers have been answered and there's a manifestation that occurs. Hallelujah. If you're gonna die healed and then die. Come on. If you're gonna be around here, die blessed. Die blessed. With loads of blessings, then lots of people will show up at your funeral. Amen. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that will really help some of you. Whenever you're studying the Bible, you have to always be looking for a religion that has come in to try to steal the blessing. And you don't notice it at first, but remember, I have in my house two rooms full of books. I got commentaries on everything. And there's a lot of things taught by men that is through the natural mind, not through the spirit. And one of the things that people say is, well, I won't get it in this lifetime, but I'll get it in the life to come. The only time that a promise isn't in this life is when God specifically tells you it isn't. In other words, when God told Abraham, he says, your descendants are going to inherit, your descendants are going to be as the stars of the sky, and you're going to inherit the promised land. It's going to take four generations for that to happen. In other words, it's going to be 430 years from your life. He knew right up front that he wasn't going to receive it in this life, but his descendants would. Or the rapture. There's no promise that says a rapture will be in your time. Say amen, everybody. Amen. So all the promises that don't qualify it, you can take it to the bank that you can receive it right now in this life. Even if God has to extend your life to get you the promise, he will do it. Even if God makes you live old before the promise comes, he will do that. Because if it's promised without qualification like that, you can believe, you receive, and you can rest assured you'll have it. You'll have it, 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 and you will dance and have joy, unspeakable, full of glory. I got all kinds of stuff coming. Say amen. I want to dance for joy when the Lord comes, man, with a manifestation. I want manifestations. Whew. Now, I'll prove it to you. Write this down. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 35. There's two men in the Bible, or two individuals in the Bible. One is called Simon. The other one is called Anna. These were two older individuals who the Lord had revealed that they would physically see Christ come into the world in their lifetime, and God would keep them alive until they saw that. They estimate that Simon was 120 years old when he saw the baby Jesus and prophesied about the child to Mary. Anna, they estimate her age was 120 or 110. Now, I don't know about you, but I like that. In other words, God says, listen, if you believe in my scriptures, even if it's a hard thing, I'm going to keep you around so that your joy can be made full in it. So that you can be one of those old seniors going, hallelujah, it finally came through, praise God. God kept me alive. I made it through COVID. I made it through this. I made it through the cancer diagnosis. I made it through my bad heart, praise God. Whew. That's what God wants to do for each one of you. Now, hopefully it won't take that long, but the point is, that's why in Psalms 91 it says, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Are you satisfied yet? Did you get the house you wanted yet? Did you get the family you wanted yet? Have you got the career you wanted yet? Have you accomplished what God wanted you to have yet? God says he'll satisfy you with good things. Woo! So there's a connection between long life and the manifestations of promises. So why would God keep you around if you're not believing for anything? Might as well go home. Have the little house on the end of heaven. Little shack. I want to go to heaven and be on the streets of gold, super mansion. That's mine. And by the way, just to let you know, I'm going to be living with a woman in heaven. I know there's no marriage, so I'm going to shack up with my wife in heaven, praise God. I'm sorry. Probably shouldn't have said that, praise the Lord. But always remember this, the moment you believe, and you receive, at that moment, something physically has changed. A molecule has changed. Something has changed. The moment you believe. The fig tree Jesus cursed didn't wither up in the next day. It started the moment he spoke to it. That moment, it died. It just took 24 hours to reveal the death. The moment you speak in faith over your body, something changes. The moment you speak, I'm about ready to lose it here. The moment you speak to that mountain, it begins to, little earthquake starting. It starts crumbling down there. Yeah, getting smaller until it becomes a plain. Who are you, O great mountain, before you? Hallelujah. By grace, God will remove it. It will become a plain, saith the Lord. Woo. Anyway, praise God. Everybody stay focused here. Now, manifestation equals glorification. When there's manifestation, Christ is glorified. Jesus is glorified. You remember when Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, was sick? You remember Mary and Martha were really upset because Jesus didn't come over right away? Why were they so insistent he came over right away? Because no one could be intimately close with Jesus and stay sick. Jesus had no friends he lost during his ministry. The anointing was too powerful. But he delayed because he was going to display the glory of God. And he said this to his disciples. This is after Lazarus had died. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the what? Glory of God." So when he got up that day and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." If he would have stayed in the grave, how could have God been glorified? He's gloried in manifestation. Jesus said it this way, "If you abide in me, my word abides in you. Ask what you wish and it shall be given you." Talk about answered prayer. By this prayer, your Father is glorified. By answered prayer. He's not glorified if he don't meet your financial needs. He's not glorified if you don't recover. He's not glorified if your marriage falls apart. He's only glorified when you pray in faith and the faith manifests. Can we just do a little praise offering right now? I'm pretty excited about this. Manifestation. Healing. Deliverance. Hallelujah. To whom the Son set free is free indeed. Woo! Thank you, Lord. What we have done in the church, and it was unintentional, is we have emphasized spiritual things to the point that we're not expecting manifestation. And we've said that the best part of life is afterlife rather than in life right here. And I know heaven's going to be good, but my joy is to be made full here too. Amen? And to give you an example, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Wait a minute. Some glad morning when this life is over? What did the psalmist said? He said that the man who desires life and to see good days, hallelujah. In other words, my glad morning isn't when I die. My glad morning is right now. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for everything you're doing. Whew. But we've done that and we've emphasized the spiritual to a degree that we are missing the whole point. Like people say, you know, you shouldn't have a lot of money and so forth on this earth. Jesus said, don't store up in earth, but store up in heaven where the thief and rust and all that can't come in and wreck your goods. Jesus, understand what he's saying there. He's telling the people that your best place where Satan can't touch is when you invest in the kingdom. He can't touch what you've invested in the kingdom. He can touch your money down here, but he can't touch what you've invested. But God's not against having storehouses. He's not against having extra money. If he did, then why would he say in the blessing of Abraham that to lend and not borrow. How can I lend when I got no money? Why would he say a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children? How can you do that if you're living by paycheck and then you croak and your family has to kick in for the funeral? Come on. God wants you to have surplus. Hallelujah. Surplus. Surplus. And I'm not saying that to be mean or anything. I just believe that sometimes we emphasize spiritual things to the point we don't realize spiritual things are all designed to materialize. Your faith is to result in blessings in your life. Can you say amen? Amen? All right, I want all of you to stand up for a moment here, and I'm going to bring this to a slow conclusion. When I say slow, I mean slow. I want to show you that we live in a time right now, not later, where there is new wine in the Spirit. And when I say new wine in the Spirit, I'm talking about a new wine that will change your life, refresh you in the storms, and everything else, which means there's going to be a season of manifestation. I'm going to read to you this verse in Isaiah, and it shows you prophetically that this time was needed. It says this, "The new wine fails, the vine languishes, all the merry hearts sigh. The mirth of the tambourine ceases. The noise of the jubilant ends. The joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink bitter to those who drink it. And the city's is confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may go in. There is a cry for new wine." Say it with me. There's a cry for new wine. "In the streets, all joy is darkened. The myrrh of the land is gone." It's talking about a time for the church where they needed a new wine. Or when I say church, I'm talking about believers before Christ's resurrection. At Pentecost, the new wine came in. It's new. No one ever before in any generation was able to receive the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit like it is for the church today because of Jesus. And what was the first miracle that Jesus did? Turning the water into wine. Think that's the first miracle that he did. Well, come on, Jesus, why didn't you do something else? Why did you do that? I'll tell you exactly why I did it, because it was a sign that pointed to the day that we live in. Let me explain. You remember at the wedding feast, Mary, his mother, told the servants, do whatever he says. And Jesus told them, fill up the 6 stone water pots of purification. Now, some people miss that. Purification. Say purification. This was not drinking water. This was the water that every home had under Jewish law, where you would wash your hands and your feet, bathe yourself with this water. It was the water of purification. And he took that water and turned it into wine. Remember the time Jesus' disciples came and the religious leaders said, you don't wash your hands, you're not doing all that stuff. And Jesus says, a person is not defiled from the outside. They're defiled from the inside out. When he turned the water into wine, he was saying, listen, your old purification way is from the outside in. I'm going to take that system, I'm going to change it. And you're going to drink it, and from the inside out, it's going to change you. And we know that the wine was good wine. Because the host said this. He says, usually you use the best wine in the beginning. At the end, everybody's tipsy, and they don't feel it. And use the cheap wine. He says, you've put not the best wine at the end. And if you remember, I said this a month ago, I think it was, that wine takes at least 3 years to just be wine, to have it after growing it, all that. And it takes about 7 years for good wine. And so notice what Jesus did. Within a moment, as soon as they dipped the cup in, the water turned to wine. Within an instant, he took 7 years and put it in a moment. Hallelujah. 7 years. Bring it in a moment. And in the scriptures, it always compares drunkenness to being filled with the Spirit as an analogy. Think about it. Now, I know you're also spiritual, but just take off your spiritual hat for a moment here. Remember what it's like before you weren't saved? What do drunk people do? They can't walk. It messes up how they walk. It messes up their deception. You know what I'm talking about? Police officer pulls you over, sitting on one leg. Their perception's off. Say the alphabet. I don't know what the alphabet is. Change your perception. The Holy Spirit is the same. But it's positive. It causes you to walk. Causes you to run, not go weary. Causes you to dance. Hallelujah. Causes you to do that. And it changes your perspective. You think differently. And, you know, a drunk, you can always tell a drunk, I don't care what kind of cough drops they take or things, you can always, you smell it. I smell it on you. You can smell the anointing on a person. Yeah, they're one of those. They go to the river, I know, yeah. They're not like most religious people. I've seen them at lunchtime dancing inside of their car, praise God. You can tell the difference. Come on, say it, come on, woo! Yes! A refreshing of the Spirit. Only possible because of Jesus. We have this new wine of the Spirit that changes our walk, changes our perception, and makes us under the influence of the Holy Ghost and power. Now, I'm about ready to read to you a verse that I think will really help you. This closing meeting, I want you to hear what I want to get across. This blessing has the power to take 7 years and do it in a moment. This blessing of the Spirit has the ability to take 20 years and bring it down to 1 year. Time isn't an issue. Look at this verse. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. Stop there. The days are already here. That was prophesied thousands of years before Jesus came. The days are already here because Pentecost has happened. Says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed, and the mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. You know what he's saying? It's saying that when the Holy Spirit, the refreshing, comes, God can quicken your miracle. God can quicken your blessing. God can quicken your breakthrough. God can quicken the restoration of your family. God can quicken your outcome. He can quicken your opportunities. He can quicken the increase in your life, the prosperity in your life. Woo! Yes! Yes! Yes!
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the River, and we're doing life together.